Ask you to take your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there are blue Bibles around you. You can grab one of those. We are going to be looking together in the letter of Colossians. And just to help, if you're not familiar with the Bible, to help you kind of locate that, Colossians is toward the very back of the Bible. It's a very small letter. And so it's okay to look at your table of contents and find the page number, okay? And just go find that. If you come to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you're getting close. Those are some bigger letters. And then as you keep kind of going a little bit further, you'll find Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 3. We've been talking about walking out our faith. Walk it out, living Christian in a new reality. And this overarching theme that we've been talking about, that actually Paul is talking about here, is the new life that we have in Christ. And last week we talked about having died to this world. Those of you who have put your trust in Jesus Christ, who have believed upon Him for salvation, He's in a way cut you off. You have died to this world, and you've died to its pleasures and to its power. And so actually the powers of this world no longer have a stronghold over us anymore. We have the ability to overcome in Christ. And because we've been raised with Him to new life. But see, that new life that Christ has given to us, that has implications then for how we live. And that's why we're talking about living out what it means to be Christian and an understanding that that's lived out in a very new reality, a very different reality from the way I was born. And so we're going to be continuing to talk about that this morning as we move on. And our message this morning, and I turn this off as I always do. There we go. We're talking about, are you disconnected? And we're going to be looking primarily at Colossians 3, verses 5 through 7. And I know, listen, are you disconnected? I know that can have a lot of different connotations this morning, and I kind of did that intentionally, just to kind of throw that out there, because sometimes people say, oh yeah, I'm feeling really disconnected. I'm feeling disconnected from my friends. I'm feeling disconnected from my family. I'm feeling disconnected. But that's not the kind of disconnected we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about, are you disconnected from what you should be disconnected from? A number of years ago, we were living in Oregon. Tammy and I had bought a house. It was our very first house. And there was a little kind of area that had been a garage, and the people before us had converted it into a little living space. And it needed a little bit of work. And one of the things it needed was some heat. And so we bought these Cadet wall heaters. And if you know what I'm talking about, it's just a heater that's in the wall. You can turn it on. Those go by off of a 220 amps circuit. So if you don't know what I'm talking about now, that's okay. Just play along. It's a lot of current running through that wire to power that thing. So you've got a fuse box in your house, right? You've probably gone down and looked at that thing. Some of you had to mess with that. Well, you see, you've got your fuses, right? And that's where the power kind of comes to. Well, I had run out of places to connect those heaters. I didn't have an opening available spot. Well, as I was looking around, I discovered that this house at one point had electric heat, but they had converted to natural gas. And so one of those circuits was a 220 circuit that I could remove and put back in and then have my heaters powered. Well, if you've ever done any work like this, you know that you have to have things inspected. And the inspectors come, and I was going to have an inspection the next day, and I wasn't quite finished. And listen, if you're ever doing any home improvement, please do not do this, okay? I was racing until well into the night to get this done. And you start to get a little punchy, all right? And so I thought for sure that I had that circuit turned off. I double-checked that circuit was turned off. And I went over and that wire was coming out of the wall where I needed to bring some additional wire in. And I took my wire cutters and I went, boom. And if you know anything about electricity, you know what happened next. It went boom. And it knocked me back. And it was the most frightening experience I've ever had. Now, fortunately, not because I was smart, but only because God was gracious, I had a pair of pliers that were protected in my hand. But it melted those things. They were completely melted. You know, sometimes you want to get disconnected from something, right? You want to disconnect from the right things, and you want to do it in the right way. right? So we're going to be talking about disconnecting, and we're actually talking about disconnecting from a power that is destructive. But we want to do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. We want to do this with the gospel. We want to do this in a way that Paul helps us to do this. And we understand how we can disconnect actually from this world is what we'll be talking about. So if you'll turn, if you haven't already, to Colossians chapter 3, and you'll follow along while I read our section of Scripture this morning. I'm actually going to begin at verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 11. Beginning at verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew and circumcised and uncircumcised and barbarian and Scythian and slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is truth, and we rejoice in your provision of this revelation to us. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would help us to think through what your word has to say about disconnecting from this world and how we do that, and why we should do it, and what we should be disconnecting from. And I pray that you would give me clarity of speech, and that you would direct our time so that the gospel would be made clear, and that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Open up all of our hearts, Lord, to hear from you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So from this passage, this is the premise. I'm sorry, here's our passage we're looking at particularly this morning. "Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you." Now, for those of you that have ESV, this is the translation I'm going to use this morning. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But, "Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because it is through these things that the wrath of God comes, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them." So he's giving us here a picture of what we need to die or disconnect from, why we need to disconnect from it, and some of what it will mean as to how we will disconnect from it. Now, I said I want to refer, I normally, as you know, I preach from the New American Standard, and that's what many of you might have, and you notice that I used a different translation here this morning. Listen, I most of us probably know that the New Testament was written in Greek, okay? It wasn't written in English, right? And so we're translating. And sometimes we have some translation questions, and it's like any language, right? You translate from French to English. If you have five people translate a phrase from French to English, you'll get five slightly different things, won't you? But do they mean the same thing? Yeah, they mean the same thing, but they're a little different. Well, the way that the New American Standard phrases this, it says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead." Whereas the ESV says, "Therefore, put to death." You see, there is a bit of a difference in one is kind of passive, consider these things to be dead, and the other is active. And the reason I've gone this direction this morning is because the Greek word here is actually an active command to do something. And it's the command to put to death. Not just to think about this being dead. No, you put it to death. And you have some responsibility in this. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But here's our premise this morning. Since you've died to this world, if that's true of you, disconnect yourself from its enticements with God's help. Disconnect from the things that entice you from this world. Don't let the world drag you in to its enticements. And if you've died to the world, then you should do this. You should be disconnecting from this world's enticements, but you need God's help to do this. You can't do this on your own. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We're talking about disconnecting from this world. He's been saying previous to this, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Fix your hope on the things above, not here in this world. Disconnect from this world and connect to what is above. That is the kingdom of Christ. That is Christ himself. So as we talk about this, first we want to do this. We want to answer, what are the enticements of this world? What are they? Well, he says in Colossians 3:5, therefore put to death what is earthly in you. That is sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And then he qualifies greed and he says, greed which amounts to idolatry. So what are the enticements of this world? It's these things that he's talking about. And he goes on and he gives us another list a little bit later that we'll talk about more. So this list isn't meant to be all-inclusive. It's not meant to be everything. It's as though Paul is saying things like this. And we'll talk more about that. But let's talk about this world's enticements as he lists them here. Let's talk about sexual immorality. You know, we get a word from this. The original word actually is porneia. And you probably already know where that word shows up in our culture. Porneia, pornography. What is sexual immorality? What is porneia? Well, it is this. It simply refers to any sexual activity that takes place outside of marriage. Any and every form of sexual activity that takes place outside of the covenant bond of marriage is porneia. And Paul is saying here, disconnect from that. Disconnect from sexual immorality because, and we'll talk about the because later, but this is of this world, and you're no longer part of this world. You've died to it. So cut yourself off from that. And there's much that is related to this, isn't there? It's not just the actual consummation of a sexual relationship between a man and a woman. But it has to do with all that might lead up to that. It has to do with what we view, what we think. Put that stuff away. Now, I want to relate this to the gospel. Okay? Why do we put this away in relationship to the gospel? Because sexual relationship is the greatest form of intimacy that God has created for humans. This relationship is the greatest expression of human intimacy that is possible. God created it that way. And when we think of the gospel, what is the greatest degree of intimacy that we can have in this life? It's not with another human being. It is with Christ. We have an intimate, not the same. Please do not misunderstand me. Do not want to connect this to the sexual relationship. It's not at all like that. But the same intimacy that is designed there is found in Christ. So why would you look to find this fulfillment for what Christ has provided from you from this world? God created this relationship for a purpose, and it fills a good purpose. But apart from marriage, he says, listen, disconnect from it. Then he goes on and he says, impurity. What is impurity? Well, it literally means uncleanness. And it refers to anything that would soil a saint. Yeah, anything that's going to soil a saint. Anything that's going to cause some uncleanness and some dirt in your life as you think about living out your faith. Listen, mom and dad, you've got kids. If you've got kids, Jordan was sharing about the kids. They get some snow and they go out and they play in the snow, or in the summertime, they may go out and play, and I don't know if your kids are like mine. They love to find the mud puddles, right? They love to find the dirt to play in. When I was a little kid, I loved that too. Man, I'd come into my house, and I'd be all grimy, dirty. What would my mom do? She'd grab me, and she'd clean me up, right? She didn't want me tracking all that stuff all over the house. Well, listen, this life, this world, all that's part of this world is messy. There's all kinds of filth. There's all kinds of garbage, and we're walking through this world. And Paul is saying to us, listen, disconnect from those things that you know will cause a filthiness to take shape in your life. And it's related to the sexual immorality, isn't it? Because many of these things are connected to one another, and these are connected. It would include things like pornography. It would include things like gossip and greed, as he talks later. These are things that are unclean. Disconnect yourself from those things. But we're going to talk more about how you need the Holy Spirit's help to do this. But let's connect this to the gospel. Where do we find our greatest purity? You see, we find our greatest purity in Christ. He's the one and the only one that can clean us up. He's the only one that can take you and wash you. And when you put your faith in Him, when you trust in Him, He has washed you. Now think of Peter with me for just a second. You might recall that Peter and the other disciples were in this upper room sharing in dinner with Jesus. And Jesus gets up and He starts washing feet, right? He's going around and washing feet, and Peter stops and says, "Oh, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. No way. No way." Jesus says, "Listen, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me." Peter says, "Okay, fine, then bathe me, my whole body. Just douse me." Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, you don't need to be bathed. You've already taken a bath. Your feet need to be cleaned." And I think that's somewhat analogous to this life that we live in this world, in which we're walking through a dusty, dirty world, and there are times when we need our feet cleaned. And who's going to clean them for you? Jesus. Jesus cleans your feet. But so much better if we don't walk through the mud puddles in the first place, right? So much better if we disconnect ourselves from those things that make us unclean. Then he says passion. What does he mean by this, passion? Well, he's referring to emotions or desires that lead to shameful excess. Anything in my life that's going to cause me to exceed, to go beyond what is acceptable. And again, this has relationship to the other two things, doesn't it? Because I can get impassioned in a relationship with the opposite sex, and I can go too far, can't I? But you see, these passions are replaced, or should be replaced, where? In the gospel. Where should my passion be? My passion should be for Christ. If I want to exceed anywhere, if I want to have an excess in my life, that go overboard, where should I be going overboard? In my love for Christ. I want to have a passion for Him. And when I'm exerting my passions on the things of this world, I'm displacing something, and I'm not allowing myself to really engage and connect to that which I'm most connected to. So disconnect from those things that incite your passions in you, that lead you to excess in your life. And then he goes on and he says, evil desire. What does he mean by evil desire? Well, it's a desire for the wrong things, or it's a desire for the right things, but for the wrong reasons. Right? So let's take the first one. You can desire the wrong things. I'm wanting, in fact, he's going to go on and talk about greed. I'm wanting more and more money. I'm wanting this relationship. I'm wanting that, but I'm wanting it. I'm wanting the wrong thing. Or I can want the right thing, but I can want it for the wrong reasons. These are desires that are evil. And he's saying, listen, disconnect yourself from these things. Disconnect yourself from these things. And finally, he says, let's go back here and let's talk about evil desire. Let me connect that to the gospel. Let me connect it to the gospel. Where should our desire be? What should fuel the affections of my heart? What should be my greatest thought? He's already said, set your mind on things above. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness. Pursue and desire that which is good. Pursue Christ. Pursue the gospel. And then finally, greed. What is greed? Greed is just an inability to find contentment. Greed is an inability to find contentment. It's an insatiable desire for more, especially money. But you can be greedy about other things besides money. You can be greedy for a sexual relationship. You can be greedy for all kinds of things. It's an insatiable desire. And really, at the core, it's an inability to find contentment. Where is our contentment to be found? In Christ. You see, the gospel comes to us and said, do you really want to be content in this world? Christ is your only hope of finding true contentment. All of the things of this world that we might get greedy about, they're an illusion. They're a lie. They're holding out to you, this is going to make you happy. This is going to fulfill you. This is going to satisfy you. I remember when Tammy and I were relatively newly married, we had a family member, and they were living in a different community, and they both had very high-powered jobs and were making a lot of money. And Tammy and I were kind of looking at this and saying, wow, you know what? Man, life would be so different if we just had even half of what they were making. I mean, our lives would be so much better and so much more contented. And you know what you discover? That's just not true. Because money doesn't satisfy. Sex doesn't satisfy in the end. Those things are an empty illusion. Only Christ can satisfy. Your contentment can only be found in Him. But he goes on and he links this to idolatry. He says these things, or greed, is idolatry. So why does Paul call greed idolatry? Well, listen, brothers and sisters, it's related to what we were just talking about. Greed is ultimately finding my satisfaction, placing my hope, placing my what I think is going to help or benefit me in something other than God. And so greed, in all of its forms, is the worship of another god. The insatiable desire for money is saying, money is what will satisfy me. And God's out there, but money. You see, it's idolatry. That is, it's worship of something other than God. And may I suggest this? It's not so much the worship of money as it is the worship of yourself. You're worshiping you. You're saying, I want, I deserve, I need, I. And the Lord says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two gods. Money and you can't share the throne with Jesus. And so you need to disconnect yourself from these things of the world. So we've talked about disconnecting from this world. We've talked about what the enticements of this world are. Now let's talk about why should you disconnect from the enticements of this world? Why? And Paul gives some reasons in our passage. Why disconnect? Because these things rightly bring the wrath of God. He says, because it is on account of these things that wrath of God comes. On account of these things, the things he's just listed and things like that, that the wrath of God is coming. Now, we don't like to talk about this in our culture. We want to think about God as this kind of teddy bear up in the sky who's just all forgiving and all, he's going to accept everybody and everything. But you know what? You and I do not. I guarantee you, if you really process that, you and I do not want to serve that God. We have built within the core of our inner being a desire for justice. And so when a man rapes a 5-year-old, we want justice. And we would be horrified at the judge that just said, oh, that's okay. That's all right. We don't want to serve a God who's not a God of justice and who won't actually hold people accountable for the way they live. And so the wrath of God is because of these things. Because these things, as I've tried to make a connection to the gospel, because in all of these things, we are doing things that move us away from Christ as our sole sufficiency. And when we do that, it's not just that we're committing this act. That's not the main point. The main point is we are in essence giving a high hand to God and saying, you know what? No. You're not enough for me. And to do that to the creator of the universe, the one who created you, the one who gave everything for you, there's an issue of justice here. There's an issue of justice. Let me. Sometimes we talk about fear of God. And in the church we say, well, you know, that's more like respect. And there is some truth in that, okay? When respect, but what does it mean to live in fear of God as believers? It is not to presume upon His grace. It's not to take for granted that I can just go do whatever I want in my life. And God's okay. He's okay with that. Because He died for me. That is a presumptive, and that's not functioning in fear. You know, listen, we understand this concept. How many of you have ever been skydiving? One? Two? I saw another. I thought, well, okay. How many would you like to go skydiving? Yeah, quite a few. I'm with you there. Okay. Would you want to pack your own chute, or would you want somebody else packing your chute? Now, for me, I'd like to learn how to do that and, like, really get good at packing chutes, and I want to pack my own, okay? Why? Isn't it because I'm afraid? Isn't there a very real fear of what might happen if that chute doesn't open? I mean, it's not the fall that's the problem, right? It's the sudden stop at the end. Okay, so I'm going to prepare and I'm going to think properly about my chute, what I'm wearing, right? See, we understand this concept. Is it wrong to say, oh, well, you shouldn't be afraid of skydiving? Or is that right to say, I should say? Is that a good thing? You shouldn't be afraid of skydiving. Listen, I'm guaranteeing you, if you're not afraid of skydiving, you're not going to take seriously the packing of your chute and something's going to happen. We understand, listen, why do we disconnect from this world? Because these things of the world lead to destruction. They lead to death. And if we persist in these things, it may in fact mean that we are not who we claim to be. And that moves us on to our next point. We talked about why we disconnect. Well, because you're not that person anymore. Right? You're not that person anymore. He says in Colossians 3:7, and in them you once walked. When, that is, in the past, you were living in them. That's who you were. You once walked in those things, but that's not who you are now. Because you were living in them then, but now you're different. In fact, in verse 3, just before this, he said, but now you've died, and your life, your true life, is hidden with Christ in God. Where is the real Kelly Larson? I'm the real Kelly Larson, the authentic Kelly, is hidden in Christ with God. That's my truest identity. And so why would I live? Why would I go on connected to this world, living as if I'm still in that old person? You see, he goes on in 2 Corinthians, he gives us another reference to this. He says, therefore, if any person is in Christ, that is, let me clarify that, that is if you have authentically trusted in Jesus Christ as your sole sufficiency for salvation. If you have said, I'm a sinner, that person that is bound up in those things we've been talking about and things like that, that was me. But I recognize that Christ died for me. And He's the one that cleanses me of all of that. And He's the one that changes me. And I've put my entire and complete trust in Him. I'm not counting on anything I'm doing in this world. I'm not counting on my baptism. I'm not counting on the communion that I take. I'm not counting on confession with somebody. I'm not counting on prayer. I'm not counting on any of those things. I am solely and exclusively counting on the fact that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross. And that's where my hope rests. If that's true of you, then you are a new person in Christ. We've talked about this before. He says this in verse 1. If you have been raised up with Christ, you've been brought to life in Him. Same thing. He is a new creature. And the old things have passed away. New things have come. You're not that person anymore. It's not you. Right? Now, it does beg the question, are you in Christ? Have you given your life to Christ? Are you a new creature? Have you been converted, we say? Have you recognized your sin and have fallen at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm yours and I'm trusting only in you? If you have, you're a new creature. Why be disconnected from this to this world? But if you haven't, then you're still connected to this world. And the wrath of God is coming. Listen, for believers, the truly inauthentic life is the sinful life. For believers, the truly inauthentic life is the sinful life. We talk a lot about authenticity in our culture. I was reading an article on authenticity. This person wrote this article. He says, I'm often asked two questions. What is an authentic life, and how does one know whether or not they're living inauthentic or authentically? This is a big kind of conversation the world is having. It's not just having it in the church. The church is having it too. We're talking about being authentic, being real, right? And I've joked around about this. Some pastors, in an effort to be real, wear skinny jeans and spike their hair. A middle-aged man in skinny jeans with spiked hair, to me, doesn't communicate authenticity. But that's just me, okay? But we're having this conversation, and this guy, he's a secular gentleman, and so he's trying to answer this question. He's turning to all of these philosophers, but he turns to this Native American philosopher named Lame Deer. And Lame Deer suggests that an authentic life would not include self-deprecation. In other words, it wouldn't include denying yourself. It wouldn't include denying yourself. Lame Deer believes that we can't stand our natural animal selves, so we hide from who we are. We use deodorants and perfumes to hide our smell. We disfigure our faces with cosmetic procedures in a desperate attempt to hold aging at bay, and we enslave ourselves to a system that reduces us to cogs in the economic machinery. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Tammy and I used to live out in Portland, Oregon, and we would occasionally go down to the Hawthorne District of Portland, where there was all these like quaint little shops and stuff, and there was these quaint little restaurants, and there was this one little restaurant we would go have breakfast at. And, you know, I don't know if you're not familiar with Portland at all, but it's... they're a little different in the way they think about certain things, and particularly with respect to this. So it was very common to find people that didn't cut their hair, that had dreadlocks, and they didn't wear deodorant. I'm an advocate of deodorant, let me just say. Okay? Especially when they're having breakfast. All right? So I don't know what we're talking about, getting back our animal selves and trying to hide our smell from perfume. Please, this is be authentic differently here, okay? Wear deodorant. But he goes on and he talks about consumerism and the hunt and all of this. And let me read you the conclusion from this author. How do I define your life? That is your authentic life. Well, I choose to think that we are spiritual beings inhabiting a human body for a special experience. And it's not the one acting as a pawn controlled by all those who would own our every thought. No, it is the mindful life, aware and engaged in our innermost self-discovery, alert to the fact that as we live, we literally live into who we are, or we don't. And that is our only real choice. Did you understand that? If you'd understood that, please come up to me afterwards and explain it to me, because I don't understand that. What I hear a lot of is me, 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 me. Look in me, and I don't want to self-deny, and I just got to be me, 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 me. You know what the gospel says? Christ, 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 Christ. Look at Christ. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You want to be authentic? Be who you are in Christ. You are in Christ. Be who you really are. You are not that person anymore. That's not you. That's not who you are. To be connected to all these things in this world. That's the inauthentic life. Inauthenticity for the believer is to be in the sinful life. So we're disconnecting from the world. We're talking about that. We've talked about what the enticements of the world are. We've talked about why you should disconnect. But now we need to get down to the nitty-gritty and talk, how do you disconnect from the enticements of this world? How? You cannot do this on your own. Here's where we're different from the world. Does the world have their lists of things that you shouldn't do? Absolutely, they do. They have lists of things that you shouldn't do. They might be different lists, but they have different lists of don't do this, don't do that. But you see, when the world puts out those lists and says, live this way and don't live this way, all we're talking about is a form of moralism. All we're talking about is an external way of living. And that's not what we are about in the Christian life. We are about a fundamental change of who we are. And I cannot make these changes. I can't disconnect myself from those powers unless that change has taken place in me. Any self-effort to disconnect myself from immorality and impurity and all of these things, it's nothing more than a form of legalism. It's nothing more than a form of empty religion. I can't do this on my own. So how do you disconnect? Well, first of all, you do it by listening to the gospel. By listening to the gospel. You see what Paul is doing in our passage here. I want you to just look with me at Colossians 3 again and look at what he's doing here in beginning in verse 1. And we might link it back even, because what Paul has been doing all the way up through this is he's been preaching the gospel. And then he says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, what's he doing? He's reminding you of the gospel. He's telling you about this new life you have in Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Because you've died and your life is hidden with him. He's preaching the gospel to you. And he goes on and he continues to preach the gospel to you. Why is he doing that? Because that's the how. How do you disconnect yourself? Preach the gospel. Listen to the gospel. Colossians 3:16. Let's look just a little ahead in our passage at Colossians 3:16. Paul writes this, and we'll look more at this a little later in the year. But he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. What is he saying here? Actively allow the word of Christ, which is the gospel, to dwell within you. Preach the gospel. Listen to the gospel. From whom should you hear the gospel? From whom should you hear it? Well, first of all, you should hear it from the church. You should hear it from the church. The Paul says to the leaders of the church in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. In season and out of season, preach the word. He says, without the preacher, people can't come to an understanding of God's grace. Preach the word. And where do we hear that preaching? We hear that preaching in the church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the community of people. And so, how do we do this? Well, practicing the four things will position you to be hearing the gospel. If you take your bulletin, and if you've been around here, you know we've referenced these four things. If you take your bulletin, there are four things that are listed there connected with our mission. What are they? They're four things. They're gathering, connecting, serving, and sharing. As you gather with your community, you hear the gospel. As you connect with others, if we're connecting biblically, we're hearing and sharing, we're hearing the gospel. If you're sharing, you're sharing the gospel. If you're serving, guess what? You're displaying the gospel and you're seeing it. And my bet is that you're having conversation while you're serving. And oftentimes that conversation will turn to what Christ has done for us and you hear the gospel. You see, as we engage in those four things, we gather, we connect, we serve, and we share, we are hearing the gospel appropriately. And that is how we are disconnecting from this world. In part, you also hear it from yourself. You need to hear it from yourself. We talk a lot about preaching the gospel to yourself. Paul is educating us here. He's teaching you and he's teaching me what to say to myself, what to say to yourself. So when I'm struggling with temptation in my life, what do? I remind myself of what Christ has done in me. I remind myself of who I am in him. I remind myself of where the greatest value in this world comes. I remind myself of where I truly find contentment. I remind myself that Christ is all and in all. And I preach that to myself. I don't just listen to myself. I don't go around, because we're all listening to ourselves, right? You're having a conversation with yourself right now. You're interacting with me, and you're talking to yourself right now. Stop listening to yourselves and preach the gospel to yourselves. Talk to yourself. Take captive those thoughts for the glory of Christ. And remind yourself continually of the gospel. And as you do that, that's what empowers us to disconnect from this world. But secondly, how do we disconnect? By listening to the gospel. And secondly, by choosing obedience. You have a choice to make. God has given you new power. He's made you a new creation. And along with that, He's given you choices to make. And so let's talk about some of these choices that we make that Paul actually lists right here. And we could go on with these. But right in our context, he says, seek the things above. You have a choice about that. He says, set your mind on the things above. You have a choice to make about that. He says, put to death what is earthly in you. You have a choice about that. Put them all aside. You have a choice. Do not lie to one another. You don't have to lie. You can make a choice. Put on a heart of compassion. Choose. He's giving us commands that are real. What are those commands? Why can we? Why can I keep those commands, though? Because Christ has changed me. And because Christ dwells in me. And because He's empowering me. I can't do that on my own, you see. That's why He began by saying, if you have been raised with Christ. How do you disconnect from this world? By listening to the gospel, by choosing obedience, and finally, by relying on the Holy Spirit. By relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look with me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is just right before Colossians by a couple of letters. So if you just go back a little bit, you'll find Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is going to be a familiar passage to many of you. And hopefully, we'll talk more about this when we get to Colossians 3:16. But we're going to talk a little bit about it now. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Paul writes this. He says, do not get drunk with wine. Rather, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We'll talk about that last part, because as we look here in just a second, Colossians 3:16 says, in essence, the same thing. But have you ever wondered, what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit or filled with the Spirit? Have you ever wondered about that if you're a believer? If you think about in that connection to wine, it's talking about a control or an empowerment, isn't it? You are controlled by this substance that you're taking in, and you need to be controlled or empowered by the Spirit of God. Well, look at Colossians 3:16 now. So if you go back to where we were and look at it again, we've looked at this before, look at it again. You'll notice that Paul is actually saying almost exactly the same thing. He's just saying a little bit differently that adds clarity to what he means by being filled with the Spirit. He says, let the word of Christ, which is the gospel, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you see how he finished that verse in the exact same way he did in Ephesians? See, he wrote these two letters at about the same time. Two different churches he was writing to, but there was an overlap here. And this passage helps us understand how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. How are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? By allowing the gospel to richly dwell within you. That's what it means to be filled by the Spirit. To let the truth of the gospel be what shapes you. Romans 8:13 says this, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh or the body, you will live. How are you going to disconnect yourself from these things in this world? With the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't do this on your own. And what is the instrument of the Holy Spirit? The instrument of the Holy Spirit is God's Word. It's the gospel. The Holy Spirit wants you allowing the gospel to richly dwell within you so that increasingly you will become disconnected and have the ability to be disconnected from the things of this world, from its powers and from its pleasures. And why? Because you're not that person anymore. Because you're a child of the King. You're clean. That's not you. Now, look, let me finish this way. What happens when you do fall? Because you're going to. Let's be honest. You're going to fall. You're going to get caught up in the things of this world from time to time. What happens? Does God throw you out? Is he like, oh, no, not at all. Not if you're a believer in Jesus. He loves you. He purchased you. And he's going to be at work in your life to bring the gospel to bear in your life, to get you to a place of repentance, to get you to a place where you're willing to confess this and come to him and lay it before him. And like Peter, he's going to wash your feet. But if you're engaged in these things and other things like this, and it's of no concern to you, you're not really worried about it, You're not, there's not this fear in your heart. There's not this, and I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Do you belong to Jesus? Do you belong to him? Please, don't walk out of here presuming upon the grace of God. Don't walk out of here presuming that you're okay just because you grew up in a Christian home. That you're okay because you happen to live in a Christian, quote-unquote, Christian society and you're not a Muslim. Don't walk out of here. If these things are of no concern to you, it might be saying something about who you are. Those of us who are believers in Christ and have authentically been changed, it's not that we stop falling. It's that when we do, the Spirit is at work in us to convict us and to bring us back. John says in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth and your word is truth. Let truth be what changes you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've died to this world. That is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've died. Choose to disconnect yourself from this world's enticements with God's help. Make that choice. If you are here this morning and you haven't made a choice to be in relationship with Christ, if you don't have a relationship with him, where you've given your life to him, may I strongly encourage you this morning to give your life to Christ, to give over this world's pleasures and all of that this world has to offer you. Give that over and put your trust in him. And I would encourage you also, talk to me. Talk to somebody you know who understands what the Bible has to say about the gospel and tell them that's what you've done or that's what you're thinking about doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the grace of Christ. We thank you so much for the glory that we have in you alone. And Lord, we thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you are helping us to disconnect from this world. But Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. I don't know what everybody is struggling with. But Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would convict and help us to see our need to turn to you, to fix our eyes on you. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, ultimately, may you open up their eyes to that reality and help them to stop trusting in other things, to put their hope in you. Father, we know that you love us and that you sent your Son to die for us. May that reality be true in us as we live this faith out in this world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we do in response oftentimes to when the Lord is speaking to us is we want to pray confessionally. And that's what we're going to do right now. As a body, we're just going to take a moment and we're going to pray confessionally. But the way we're going to do this is I'm going to ask you all in just a second to just close your eyes, bow your head, and listen.